Hello, Grinders, and welcome to the Weekend Grind. I'm your host, Travis Mangone, here with a new guest that we haven't had here on the weekends. You've seen him around, though. He always has good NBA preseason content, kills it in NBA as well. It's Alan Lem. It's Fat Albert. Hey, 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 how's it going over there?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on a weekend show.
Yeah, man, good to have you here. And we can talk about the MLB slate. How'd it go for you today? I ended up having a profitable night, so I can't complain. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have enough Texas Rangers. I mean, that was a crazy game. The Nats just went off today. That didn't go well for me because I didn't have any shares of their batters. What about for you?
I had Angels that obviously went well, but like, dude, I've been on this Nationals bandwagon, like trying to like hit them when they actually explode, right? Because I knew it'd be coming soon because they're way too good of a team to not be hitting as well as they have been. But why would they do it against Nick Pivetta? Like, they couldn't do it against anyone else. Just absolutely tilted that this was the day that they went off, obviously. But a big game from them. And Rangers too, man. I should have been on the Rangers more. That was a mistake. I feel like I should have had more exposure to those guys. But what are you going to do? It just, that's how the slates go sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I was on the other side of sacking the White Sox, and then, I mean, that obviously didn't go too well. And I actually had some Nick Pivetta shares too, and that was a negative score. So
you closed the laptop at 7:15, I'm guessing, or 4:15.
I did. Right, I closed the laptop and threw it out the window. Yeah, I was basically that gift. So. Yeah.
Oh, man, that's too good. Well, we're going to talk about two slates here. It should be fun. The people will love this. And also on top of that, we got a 4 o'clock slate, which is nice, 4 Eastern and 1 o'clock for the West Coast guys. You were talking about before we got on here that it's pretty nice to have the game start at 1 o'clock for you instead of not having to wake up early.
Yeah, you know, it gives you a little time to, you know, go out in the morning, do whatever you need to do, whether it's your errands or go jog or spend time with your family. And then, you know, you can come back after lunch and build some teams and play the slate. So I think it's actually kind of a nice, slate that we have that starts a little bit later for us.
Yeah. And as we sweat one, we can build lineups for the other. So we'll dive right in though. We'll talk about the games. We're going to go game by game for you guys. And let's start off with probably my favorite game, just because, man, I love playing the Angels. I have a problem. Los Angeles Angels, Baltimore Orioles, 9.5 total. This is Tyler Skaggs versus Andrew Cashner. And I know Andrew Cashner has been sort of kind of like not as bad as people think this year, but dude, I don't care, man. This is the Angels. Like, the Angels are a really talented offense. I'm sure it'll be hot there. We got this heat wave on the East Coast coming for the weekend, so I'm assuming it's going to be hot. I don't have the weather right now, but yeah, I think it's going to be a great spot for Angels here, Alan, and stacking them against Andrew Cashner. What about you? What are you kind of doing with Andrew Cashner?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I think I came into the season thinking, you know, he was this gas can, and then he had some decent outings to start off the year. You know, he didn't really necessarily implode, but, you know, we've started to see him kind of regress back to the Andrew Cashner we all know. Now, I typically don't like to stack against him, but I think this is a spot where, you know, we saw Trout hit a home run in his first at bat. You know, there were concerns about his finger, but, you know, we saw him hit the home run. He was back in the field, and I think that alleviates some concerns. So, I agree. This is probably a place where you can definitely stack here.
Well, he's also, I don't know if you know, a little narrative streak, though. When he's in the outfield, he's way better than when he DHs. When he DHs, apparently he just doesn't hit as well. I don't remember what the splits are, but I've seen them. He's not as good as a DHer as he is as an outfielder. That's probably a lot of noise, but again, it's Mike Trout. He's really good. What about Cole Calhoun? He's like this extreme value that popped up today, and I think he's going to pop up again tomorrow. We didn't want to touch him with a 10-foot pole like 2 weeks ago, but now apparently he's certainly in play in a value. What do you think about Cole Calhoun?
Yeah, he was pretty chalky today, on Friday with being in the leadoff spot. I mean, on DraftKings he's only 3.4, and then, you know, on FanDuel he's also pretty cheap. So I think, yeah, if he gets the leadoff spot again, I think this is a spot where I'm definitely going to go back.
Yeah, 2.5, I think, on FanDuel. I think he's going to be a pretty solid cash option. Calhoun, Trout, like Upton, Pujols, Valbuena. I'll still take shots on Valbuena, even though he's absolutely terrible. But, hey, he can run into those two home run games sometimes. Simmons, this lineup up and down, it's going to be one of my favorite stacks to go with today. And would you agree it's one of the top stacks on the early slate?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you're looking at Cashner's numbers, he's averaging 1.5 home runs per 9. So this is a spot where, yeah, if we get – Calhoun leading off, you know, Trout looking good again. I think this is a spot, you know, 1 through 6, I'm definitely interested in. I agree with you with the Valbuena take. And then, you know, if we see even Kinsler, Maldonado in the bottom of the order, I mean, that's just some extra power. So, you know, if you want to differentiate your stack a little bit, you can play the 7 or 8.
Yeah, over 360 WOBA against both sides of the plate, and over 200 against ISO against both sides of the plate for Cashman. He's just going to get crushed here. This is a spot where I'm definitely going to look to target up the Angels, and they're one of my favorites on the slate. Let's talk about Tyler Skaggs a little bit, though, because the way this slate is breaking down, you know, we have DeGrom and Verlander. They're going to be two aces to obviously look at. But Tyler Skaggs, he's another guy that he's been really good this season. He gets a strikeout-heavy team in the Orioles. Is he kind of interesting on this slate? I kind of think I don't gravitate to him more so because Verlander and DeGrom are on this slate, and I just rather pay for them. But what about you?
Yeah, I think he's going to go a little bit overlooked, right? I mean, he's sort of that third option on the slate. You know, I think we are going to gravitate towards DeGrom and sort of an easy matchup against Miami, and then we've got Verlander against the Rays. But this is on paper, you know, a pretty good matchup for Skaggs. You know, Baltimore's not been great against lefties. You know, I guess you do have to worry a little bit about Machado, but overall, this isn't a lineup that I'm too scared about. So I do think Skaggs carries a lot of upside, especially in tournaments. If he's going to get, you know, a discount in terms of the ownership, I don't mind the spot for him.
Yeah, I think I Skaggs is perfectly fine in tournaments. I wouldn't do it in cash. I'd stick to the Verlander or DeGrom route. If I take any hitters from the Orioles, again, I'm not a big fan of doing it, but if I do, I'd go to Machado, obviously. If you have the money, spending up on him is perfectly fine. If you want Danny Valencia, lefty masher Danny Valencia, it's Derek Carty, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but he's a guy that he's been hitting the ball pretty well recently. I think he's someone that could certainly be in play as a decent little value to look at on the slate. But yeah, overall, I'm not in the business of playing the Orioles too much, so I'm not getting too much exposure. I'm just kind of sticking to like the main core guys in this lineup. And what about you?
Yeah, Machado definitely sticks out. And, you know, Mark Trumbo is also kind of been on fire recently. So I do think there's a little bit of upside here. But I mean, over the course of a season, the Orioles are, they're 26th in team ISO against lefties. They've got a WRC plus of 80 against lefties. So this is just not a team that necessarily projects too well for power. So yeah, I do think there's some one-offs, maybe like Machado, Valencia, Trumbo, sort of that middle of the lineup. But outside of that, I think I'm not going to pick on Skaggs too much.
All right, yeah, that's about it for this game. Do you want to go on to the next one here?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, sounds good. And we got the Cleveland Indians, the Oakland Athletics. This is a 9.5 total here. And first, let's talk about Adam Plutko. Any interest in him against the Athletics? I mean, this is a game that I think the bats are going to be really interesting. I know it's not the best ballpark for hitting, but I do think this is a spot where you can look at some bats. So you like Plutko, or do you like the A's bats a little better?
I think I'll take the A's bats. You know, one thing that we do have to consider, especially on multi-pitcher sites, is if you are paying up for a DeGrom or a Verlander or a Skaggs, and we talked about this pre-show, that the SP2 gets kind of ugly. So I don't necessarily want to write off Plutko, but he is coming off a really good start, you know, against Detroit, where he threw six innings, only allowed two earned runs, did strike out four. So it was serviceable. But, you know, before that, he's just been kind of getting hit around. So, you know, the SP2 spot is hard, but it's not like a spot where I want to necessarily endorse Plutko.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. Same about Edwin Jackson. I don't really want to endorse him either. Indies are good offense. Sure, they haven't been as good on the road, but, you know, I'm going to be good. Like, I don't think I'm going to go too crazy with Indians here. I think they're a fine play. If you want to spend on those guys, that's fine, but I'm already spending on some Angels. There's other bats I like. So Indians kind of just going to fall by the wayside for me. What about you?
Yeah, you know, I kind of agree. I mean, Edwin Jackson is a guy we should be picking on, right?
Yeah, like, agree 100%, Alan. It's just, yeah. I have this, like, weird bias. I just want to, like, I think if people listen to my content enough, I just never pay for the Indians because they're so expensive, and I always just like other teams. That's kind of my issue sometimes with them, especially when they're on the road, too. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the Indians, you know, I guess looking at it from a macro slate, like looking at it from a big picture, right? People are probably going to pay up for one of the stud pitchers. And, you know, we've got some really good ballpark environments. You know, Washington might have some recency bias on this early slate because, you know, they went off with 17 runs today. And then we've got this Milwaukee-Cincinnati game that should draw some ownership. You know, I don't mind Cleveland as sort of a under the radar stack because, yeah, in theory, we should be picking on Edwin Jackson. I mean, he gave up, I think he gave up like 20 home runs in 76 innings last year. And you know, he did have a really good start in his debut with the A's, but you know, I kind of think it can't happen again, right? So I don't know. I think the Indians are an under the radar stack.
Yeah, certainly. If you want to spend on him, I wouldn't talk you out of it, but I'm just spending my money in different ways. But Alan, also, Edwin Jackson, I mean, he has a 2.26 xFIP in 2018, a 28K percentage and a 0.0% walk rate. That's obviously going to happen again, correct?
Yes, that's – no, just kidding. I can't tell if anyone can listen. But like, so this is what I think. I think Edwin Jackson is actually going to draw ownership because people are going to see the last start. They're going to see the almost 22 DraftKings points that he put up, and he's cheap. So there are things working in his favor, right? The ballpark also works in his favor in terms of, you know, being a spacious ballpark in Oakland. I can't endorse him, but at the same time, you are going to have to pick an SP2 on multi-pitcher sites. So I'm kind of just aware of that, but I don't think I can endorse Edwin Jackson.
Yeah, I could see some people maybe be biased towards it, but again, that's because SP2 is kind of ugly. And we'll talk about it as we kind of go on and dive into more of the SPs because they're coming up. But if you want to play some of these hitters here, I certainly don't blame you. Like, I think Dustin Fowler, the Matt Joyce, I think they're interesting FanDuel value plays at the top. Matt Olson, he's obviously a good guy against Blitko, and that's just some of the A's bats I like. The Indies, if you want to spend on these guys, I totally get it. Anyone else you want to talk about in this game, or you want to go to the next one?
I think the last thing I just want to mention, I think I saw this on Twitter by one of the beat writers for the Indians, is that, you know, he pointed out that the Indians just haven't played well away from home. And I don't have the numbers in front of me.
I can't remember, yeah. Alan, but it's, you're right. What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, I think that's something, you know, if you're listening to this, and obviously this is our first look as well, you know, if you want to dig into those numbers, and again, you know, we probably have half a season, you know, of away games for the Indians. I don't know how much of that is real and how much of that is going to be just noise. But I just wanted to point that out in case, you know, if you do dig into numbers and think there's something there, then maybe Edwin Jackson actually has some appeal. But that's just, you know, maybe if you want to just do a little bit more due diligence and look into that.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine. Let's go to the next one. This is one I was sort of debating the SP2 a little bit, but it's the Milwaukee Brewers and the Cincinnati Reds. We got Julius Chacin and Tyler Mallan. I think Mallan's not as bad of a pitcher as some people think, right? He's a young guy. He's obviously going to try. He's going to figure out eventually. The K percentage is 22%. The xFIP 4.45. It's not the greatest, but Woba's down against righties. ISO's down. The lefties is where he's had his real struggles. And if you look at this Brewers lineup, they kind of struggle to get a little lefty heavy. Sure, those lefties are scary, and Brad Miller, Eric Thames, and Travis Shaw. But Travis Shaw dealing with that wrist, we don't know really what's going on with that. Eric Thames, he can strike out and miss with the best of them. I think there's some upside here for Tyler Mallan. I don't know if I'm going to do it in a cash games because, like, again, I'm still torn at what I will do here, and I'm really scared because it's Great American Small Park. Tons of home runs are hit. Mallan could easily blow up, but I kind of think that this is a pretty interesting spot here for Tyler Mallan. What about you?
I agree with you, and I think when I looked at this game, you know, I kind of considered the SP2 maybe coming from one of these pitchers. I do think Mallan is interesting. I mean, he's got that 22% K rate that you mentioned, and – you know, we're going to have to see what kind of lineup the Brewers roll out. You know, like you mentioned, they're dealing with some injuries. You know, Yelich is questionable. He didn't play on Friday. And then Braun left early with some lower back tightness. So if Braun's out, we could be looking at, you know, a little bit of a watered-down Brewers team.
Yeah, 100%. And again, I totally get scared of this stadium, right? Especially when I see the Brewers come in, I'm like, man, like, they could absolutely go nuts. This Cincinnati and Brewers series, doesn't matter what ballpark it's in, it always seems like it goes off. But SP2 is sort of ugly. Unless Seth Lugo ends up playing, which, Alan, we think DeGrom is playing, but this is the night before. We really don't know for sure what's going to happen. So, but I think Mallan is certainly in play. What about Chacin? I know the Reds strike out a ton, but I don't really roster Julius Chacin a ton. What about you? Do you have any interest in him against a strikeout heavy Reds team?
I mean, a little bit, but I think if I'm gonna play someone from this game, I'm just gonna take the savings on Mallan. And, you know, he's had decent games this season, but, you know, his overall numbers just, you know, they're a little bit harder for me to trust. So I guess the answer is I have a little bit of interest in Chacin, but yeah, I think I lean Mallan.
Yeah, I'd lean Mallan too. It's an ugly SP2 slate for sure. But yeah, let's talk about the bats a little bit. Who really sparks your interest? I think those lefties there are what I'm looking at on the red side of the ball. And then on the Brewers, I talked about those lefties too. I like them as well, but definitely kind of curious to see what lineup the Brewers put out, because they can put out a ton of different lineups at times. But like Brad Miller at the top could be interesting. You talked about Ryan Braun, how he's been dealing with some injuries as well. So with Ryan Braun dealing with the injury and him coming out earlier today, this lineup could be watered down, but it could also provide a little bit of value and some guys getting some good lineup spots.
Yeah, I do side towards the Reds bats, especially the lefties. And the nice thing about the Reds is, you know, they could potentially roll out, you know, 5-6 lefties in this lineup. And, you know, we look at Chacin splits this season. He's definitely struggled against lefties, 274 average, you know, 781 OPS. Again, this ballpark is good for home runs. So if, you know, if you're looking for lefty power, you've got Schebler, you've got Votto, even Tucker Barnhart, you know, decent punt catcher. I kind of like the spot for the Reds.
Yep, definitely think they're the team that I'm looking at if I have to pick one team in this game, despite them letting me down yesterday a little bit. But that's okay. I'll go back to the well with them. I think it's a solid spot. Anything else in this game? Or you want to talk about the next one?
Well, let's move on.
All right, Houston Astros, Tampa Bay Rays. We got Justin Verlander and Matt Andreese. And I think Verlander's the top dog, the guy you're going to want to pay for right now. The debate is if DeGrom is in there, because on our RotoGrinders page, we don't have him in there. So I really don't know. But I like Verlander. I'm currently going to pay for him, I think, despite that one start he had the other day against the Rays where it was really bad. I'm going to pull it up now. It wasn't really bad, but it wasn't Justin Verlander-esque, and I remember rostering him. Yeah, he did do really well against Tampa. I forget what start it was. Oh, it was the Toronto start he did really bad. But against Tampa, who we saw pretty recently, he had the 10 strikeouts in 6.2 innings, so he obviously did very well there. But I think I'm going to Verlander, back to the well. It's in Tampa Bay. That's the one thing that's nice. The pitcher's park, dome, like everything falls into place with obviously the heat wave that's going to be going on this weekend. I think this is a great spot for Verlander. Just get a ton of strikeouts against a righty heavy Rays team.
Yeah, I mean, the Rays striking out 23% of the time. It's tough. I kind of am leaning DeGrom if we get confirmation. But I see the case for Verlander, right? He just had success against this team. And, you know, maybe there's a little bit of recency bias for me, you know, watching Gerrit Cole kind of get knocked around today. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Do you feel, does that impact you at all? You know, when you see a guy like Cole sort of struggle against the Rays beforehand?
So I didn't watch his entire start. Like I was tracking it on like an app, and like, he only gave up one earned run. It seemed like the fielders had some issues, so I'm not as worried. It seemed like his pitch count just really got murdered from some just poor fielding. So I'm not as worried about it. I think it's a perfectly fine spot. It's like, Verlander or DeGrom, they're both really good plays, right? It's like, it's kind of like today's slate, right? When you had Bauer and you had Cole and then you had DeGrom too. I heard this on the Premium podcast. They're just like, it's such a slight difference between these two guys and Verlander and DeGrom. So I say just take the one that you like the most. Maybe like an umpire kind of draws you that way. I could pull up and see if there's any umpire data on that now, but I think it's really close. It's one of those things where I saw on the RotoGrinders page that we have Lugo. So I'm thinking maybe DeGrom isn't in there. And that's kind of what I'm thinking. Like just Verlander's going to be bad. But if DeGrom becomes being the pitcher that's in there, it's definitely certainly interesting between the two of them. And it's a really tough decision.
Yeah. I think the thing we also need to keep in mind too is that DeGrom got scratched for, you know, family reasons, right? It wasn't an injury. So he should be good to go if he is indeed starting. But yeah, if DeGrom's not in there, if this is a Verlander slate, then you have to pretty much lock in Verlander.
Yeah, one thing to note. Yeah, exactly. That's definitely true. But one thing to note is we have an extreme hitters umpire here for Verlander. So that's all I'll give you from the lineup HQ Premium. I don't know how long this premium week thing is lasting. So, but if you have premium, you can check out what the umpire data is. So yeah, Verlander is a guy that's going to have an extreme, extreme hitters up? Yeah, extreme hitters up. So yeah, that's obviously something to note. But I think that's that wraps up this game or that side of the ball for me, I guess you could say. Let's talk about Matt Andreese now a little bit. He's 5.5K. Do you have any interest in him here? I get it because he's cheap, right? If you want to go to like a cheaper pitcher and just jam in bats. But I don't know. I think I'd rather go to like a Seth Lugo if he's starting instead. What about you? What do you think about Andreese?
Yeah, you know, I can't do it against the Astros, even though – you know, they're also dealing with some injuries and they might not be at full strength. They're not a team I necessarily want to pick on. And then the thing with Andreese too is, you know, he hasn't gone deep into games. It's probably going to be one of those bullpen games where, you know, he gets a start, maybe pitches a couple of innings and they turn it over. So even at that point, you know, like if he's going to go 3 innings, 4 innings, I just don't see the potential upside against a Houston team at 4,000 or, you know, at pretty minimum price.
Yeah, and So, Alan, I decided to look up the Seth Lugo thing to try and figure this out. But again, I don't think we have the info on it. Like, it says Seth Lugo is in the bullpen tonight for the Mets. And then I also read another tweet that says Seth Lugo didn't sound exactly thrilled to be returning to the bullpen. So, yeah, I don't really know what's going to go on with this situation. But I kind of missed what you said while I was searching that stuff up. But I think Andreese, the case for him is just like basically – essentially if, and I mean if, like you just want to go all the way down to the bottom and punt completely because it helps you get in like those extra bats, I think that's the reason to do it, because he looks like he's the cheapest pitcher on this. Like, he's even cheaper than Andrew Cashman.
Yeah, that's the only case though. But you know, if he's not going to go deep, then actually, you know what, scratch that, it looks like Ryan Stanek is starting tomorrow, so
maybe
looks
I don't
like
know.
Andreese might be the second.
Yeah, he's probably the second guy, and probably Roto-Grinders is probably. I don't know if they're changing it like that, but yeah, that's very. I'm assuming that he is the guy that you don't want to end up putting there. Like, we haven't. He's 4.3K. The reason is just because he's way too cheap over on DraftKings specifically. So, like I said, we have some mix-ups between our lineups page and the DraftKings and FanDuel pages right now. So, I think just their case is obviously he's 4.3K and like. You can just get in a lot of bats with that. If you package Verlander and Andreese together, it's a total of, if I do my math right, I think that's 17.7K. So, and that can just help you get in like extra bats that you might not be able to get in. You know, if say you're stacking up the Brewers and the Reds game and all those guys are expensive, it can kind of be tough to make things work. But yeah, I think that's just the case. Anything else in this game? Do you like Astros bats at all? I don't really like them a ton. I think there's other bats I prefer.
Yeah, you know, it's tough because I kind of think this Rays bullpen format is kind of working, right? It kind of throws off some of the batters. Like, they're only seeing the guy once and then they have to adjust and see another guy their next time in the order. I do like Alex Bregman. You know, ever since he shaved his mustache, he's been like on fire. So you've got the mustache narrative, and I don't know if you can fade the mustache narrative.
Yeah, dude, he has been crushing without the mustache. You are right. Since he shaved it, correct? He shaved it mid-game, yes. And ever since he's been crushing the ball. Yeah, that's definitely something interesting. But I think Josh Reddick is like the guy I gravitate to just because of the value. If he ends up being in the cleanup at 3.6K, that could obviously be an interesting price in 2.7. That's where we haven't projected right now. But yeah, not much more I like in this game. Anything else you want to talk about, or you want to talk about this Mets Marlins game?
Let's move on. I'm not going to pick any Rays against Verlander.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. So let's talk about this. If DeGrom's in, it's a good conversation. We kind of talked about it enough with him and Verlander. But what about Seth Lugo at 5.9K? I think this is where it becomes interesting. I can see this being the chalk option. If you're on a two-pitcher site, you go Lugo and you go Verlander, and you kind of call it a day at his price. On DraftKings, he's listed at – oh, he's actually listed at 9.1K. But I don't know. Could you pay that price? I kind of had FanDuel up and thought that 5.9 was what the DraftKings one was. But Verlander and Lugo, with him at 9.1K, does he end up being the chalk option? I kind of still think people will go to that, but what do you kind of think?
That's tough. You know, I think at 9.1K, that's – man, I don't think I could do that, even if he's going to draw the start. It's actually 2,000 more than his last start. He was only 7,100 when he started against Pittsburgh last week. So yeah, if DeGrom is in, I have definitely interest in DeGrom, but at 9.1K, I don't think I could do that with Seth Lugo on DraftKings.
Yeah, it's definitely tougher. I do think it's interesting. It depends on how your overall roster construction ends up working, but I do think it's something that's certainly going to be in play. But on the opposite side, Pablo Lopez. I don't really know a ton about him. I know the Mets are obviously a terrible team, but would you want to go with Pablo Lopez here?
I actually rolled with the Mets rookie starter today. What was his name? So, I mean, he was cheap. I think he was like 5,000. So, if we get some sort of confirmation that Pablo Lopez is, you know, going to go deep into the game, you know, let me pull up his minor league numbers right now.
Yeah, I'm in the process of pulling him up now just to obviously check, but it doesn't seem like someone I'm really that interested in. In his AAA Marlins, you know, career 18.8K percentage, 5% walk rate, that's in 2018. And then in AA, he had a 30%. And then, like, if you go back, like, 2017, it was in, like, the mid-18. So, I don't know. It seems like he's gotten a little better, but I don't know. I just don't think it's a route I'm going to end up going. I don't care if the Mets are bad. I just don't think it's too necessary to go with him. Looks like a ground ball guy, so that obviously plays into his favor a little bit. But I don't know. XFIP in 2018 in AAA is 4.54, and that's AAA, right? Could be definitely worse when you go into playing in the major leagues.
Yeah, I think looking at these minor league numbers, yeah, he's not a huge strikeout guy, which I would want out of my SP2. So it doesn't look like I'm going to go here. He did throw, he did have a couple of games where he threw over 100 pitches. And most recently, he threw 82 pitches, 89 pitches, and then he threw 17 pitches on the June 26th. So they probably pulled him a little bit early. But yeah, I think in this case, he does look like a ground ball pitcher and no interest on my side.
Yeah, agree with you on that. You'll swap some of the bats here. I think Brandon Nimmo, that's the only man I'm really looking at to maybe roster just because he's been really good this season. And his price on FanDuel specifically, 3.1K is just way too cheap. And even Conforto, 3.2, I don't hate as well. But that's really all the bats I'm looking at in this game. Maybe Justin Bour where he's cheap, but I don't know. Those are mainly the three bats I'd look at. Nimmo, Conforto, and Bour for me. What about you in this game?
Yeah, my interest in the Marlins are going to depend on whether DeGrom or Lugo goes. Actually, Bour, you know, even at 3.4, he's actually got some good BVP against DeGrom, if you believe in the BVP. So, again, if you really need savings, I don't mind Bour as a one-off, but, you know, probably more interest than on the Mets side.
All right, let's go to last game of the slate. We got the Washington Nationals. The Philadelphia Phillies is a 9 total. And we got Jeremy Shelikson, as we used to call him, and then Vincent Velasquez going up against each other. This is a 9 total. And a little revenge for Jeremy Shelikson here. Let's talk about him first. You know, he's pitching for the Nationals going against the Phillies, and this is in a small ballpark. Do you have any interest in these lefties here? And like the Cesar Hernandez, Abdubel Herrera, Carlos Santana, those guys. I think they could be really interesting here in this spot.
They're going to go definitely overlooked and low owned. You know, Shelikson is coming off the disabled list with the hamstring injury. So, you know, we don't know necessarily how sharp he was. So there is some merit to maybe tournaments. You know, we know this ballpark just went off for like 20 plus runs today on Friday. So yeah, I think if you want to take a chance on some of these Phillies bats, I would definitely kind of stack, you know, maybe the first four of Cesar, Hoskins, Odubel, and Santana.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly fine to go. And yeah, I definitely would throw Hoskins in there because he's really good at baseball. I love playing him a little bit. What about Vincent Velasquez, the high strikeout upside guy going against a team that just hit 17 runs yesterday? It seems like this is a spot where the Nationals just get rolling this weekend. I know Velasquez is a guy that I normally like playing, and it seems like it could be a slate to consider it, but I'm just going to stay away because I'm sort of scared of the Nationals right now.
I agree. I'm scared of the Nationals too. And you know, last start for Velasquez, he drew a lot of ownership. It was super cheap against the Yankees, right? And he actually performed well. And I kind of see this as a similar situation where he's got this bad matchup, but he's priced up now, right? If he was 6,000 again, like last time, I could see more merit to using him as an SP2. But at 8,900 on DraftKings, I don't think I could do it here.
Yeah, agree with you on that. I don't think I'll go that route either. I'll definitely look at some Nationals bats. So I think stacking them up is perfectly fine. And they only have a total right now at 4.38. I'm curious if that thing increases. I'm sure it will get bet up by the public a little bit. But if they have a low total, do people maybe stay off them? Like, say the Phillies are favorites over them. Do people just not go back to the well on them after that big game?
It'll be tough, right? Because, you know, people don't want to pick on Velasquez. He's not like he's a, you know, gas can. So there's, I mean, again, maybe it is recency bias. And I think that's something I need to think about before I start making my teams is, you know, I just saw the Nationals put up 17 runs. I kind of feel like I want to get a piece of, you know, their team before they just start going off again this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, Alan, I've been saying this for the past couple of weeks. Like, I want to be on board before it happens. I missed the boat, and I don't want to miss it again. So I do think, like, specifically on FanDuel, Daniel Murphy at 2.7K is a phenomenal value, someone that I'll definitely look, get some exposure to. And then, like, that on DraftKings, they're all pretty priced up for the most part, but I do like them. I think they're all going to be, you know, up and down this lineup. That 1-6 or 1-5 is just a phenomenal spot to really load up on. Anything else in this game, or you want to move on to the next slate?
No, I think, again, we saw Soto hit like two bombs today and Harper hit one. And I think Harper was sort of in the same boat as Trout where, you know, we had some concerns about whether, you know, maybe he's hiding an injury or, you know, just been slumping. So the fact that they kind of went off, it does alleviate some of those concerns, at least for me, for Harper.
Yeah, for sure. Let's go on to the next slate. Let's talk about the Boston Red Sox, the New York Yankees. This is an 8.5 total. And we have Chris Sale against Sonny Gray. And it's rare that we see the New York Yankees with 8. total under four, but we have came to that. And people say, oh, I see the Yankees, I get scared because of that offense, but there's a lot of strikeouts in this offense, and there is a man named Chris Sale who's really good at getting strikeouts here. Is he the top option on this slate for you like he is for me?
Yeah, especially on a one-pitcher site like FanDuel. You know, there's a huge drop-off after Sale, and you've got guys like Kenta Maeda and Felix Hernandez, and I just wouldn't get cute. I think for Sale, I would just plug him as my SP1 and build around him.
Yeah, he's my favorite SP on this main slate. I'm going to be all over him. Obviously, the top option in most lineups I make, I will be loading up on him. DraftKings, FanDuel, does not matter. I will be having some Chris Sale exposure because there are Ks here. There's a man named Aaron Judge who loves getting golden sombreros sometimes. I always love trolling him and making fun of him. So, yeah, as a Mets fan, I got to do it, Alan. So I'll be watching this game, and I will be loading up on Chris Sale tomorrow. Can't wait to roster him. What about Sonny Gray on the opposite side? We've seen, like, two sides of him this year. We've seen a good Sonny Gray. We've seen a bad Sonny Gray. Against the Red Sox, what do you expect to see here?
I don't want to pick on the Red Sox with right-handed pitchers. You know, they've had a little bit more struggles with lefties, but they've been getting better recently. Yeah, I mean, we don't know which Sonny Gray we're going to get, but he has been better. You know, his walks have been decreasing. That was what he struggled with earlier in the season, but he's only allowed, you know, two walks over his last 11 and two-thirds innings, so he's been correcting that. But yeah, I don't want to pick on the Red Sox.
Yeah, I'm just pulling up now in the if you see the Plate IQ, or if it's, I don't know if the premium stuff is still free, you can check out in the premium report section. Go to the recent trends. This is something that has been added recently, and Britt kind of showed me a little bit on one of the shows. But I want to look at Sonny Gray's last 30 days here and kind of see what we've been seeing out of him. And if you look at it, you know, his medium contact is down, the soft contact's up, which is great. The hard contact hasn't moved a ton. And then on top of that, the poor hit percentage is up. That's obviously something that's going to be helpful. And the swinging strikes is up 1.2%. The outside swinging strikes is up 4.4% in the last 30 days. So, K percentage is also up 2.9%. But went from 21.7% in the past 12 months to a 24.6% in the last 30 days. The WOBA is down to the CX WOBA. So, Sonny Gray, I don't hate it because, again, the SP2 isn't the greatest on this slate. I think you'd get away with it, but it's not the greatest spot to do it. I think maybe you'd do like a 5% share or something like that. Nothing crazy. I'm not trying to go out of control with it because there's better SP2 spots on this slate instead. But Sonny Gray has been better. Maybe it's also a spot to say, hey, we don't have to load up on the Red Sox too as well and just think that they're going to absolutely have a monster game.
Yeah, I agree with you. He's more of a tournament play, and yeah, he's a 5 to 10% guy because SP2 is kind of ugly on this slate. And I do see him being a viable SP2 option. And actually, you know, something we should talk about too. I mean, we both agree Sale's a clear top option, and especially for cash games. But, you know, for tournaments, what do you think? I mean, there's always the possibility that the Yankees just kind of load up on right-handed bats. And, you know, they're going to be – do you think they're going to be low-owned? And, you know, is there merit to stacking them in tournaments?
Yankees will be low owned. If you just, I mean, Alan, I'm biased. I'm a Mets fan. I hate the Yankees. They bug me to no end. I'm allowed to do it because, hey, I have to deal with these Yankee fans in this area way too much. But yeah, pretty much to summarize it, Yankees will be low owned, right? No one wants to target against Chris Sale. So if you believe in the Yankees, that they can have that big game and absolutely blow up Chris Sale, go for it. But I'm not in the business of it. And yeah, I'll just stay away. And there's other offenses I'd rather pay for.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think in this main slate, the ownership is going to flock towards this White Sox and Rangers game, which we'll get to later. And if you want to pivot off that, I kind of think either Atlanta or, you know, the Yankees are, they've got the power upside. And we'll talk about Seattle as well.
I get why you're saying it. It does make, like, when you look at the slate as a whole and, like, look at all the games and, like, we'll get to the games that we're getting to, like, there aren't, like, really appealing games on the slate, right? It's not like we're loaded with a ton of, like, it's not like we have, like, a Coors game and then we have, you know, a game in Cincinnati in the slate and then, like, Texas hot game. So I get what you're saying with it, but, I'm a Met fan. I hate the Yankees.
I'm just saying, yeah, you know, if you want that 5 to 10% owned stack that has the possibility of just launching homer after homer, it's got to be the Yankees, right? That's really the only team. Otherwise, you flip over to Boston or you just differentiate yourself in the White Sox-Rangers game, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And it's that there's a little narrative with the rivalry, right? So they're obviously going to focus up a little more for this game because it's a rivalry game, right? That's how it goes. But let's go on to the next game. We got the Colorado Rockies, the Los Angeles Dodgers. This is 7.5 total. And man, this is one I'm just, I want to start with, I don't know what the heck Dave Roberts does, like in how he makes his decisions, but like Rich Hill went out there and was able to pitch a ton of, you know, innings today and just do whatever he wanted. I think he went like 6.2 innings. Like, do we get that from Kenta Maeda today, or does he have a short leash? Because Kenta Maeda would be a phenomenal play if I knew he was going against the Rockies and had 6.2 innings in him, but I just don't know because Dave Roberts is the worst. So what do you kind of think of him? I mean, he's 11K. It's really tough to pay that price on DraftKings. FanDuel's 8.9, which I think is kind of interesting, 3K less than Chris Sale, and that might help you get in some more bats if you really want to jam in that Texas-Chicago game and you think those guys are too expensive. So what's your kind of take on Kenta Maeda? Because I just never know what to do with this guy because it's all Dave Roberts' fault.
I mean, I agree with you. We don't know what Dave Roberts is going to do. And Maeda has been bad, right? He's been bad coming off the DL, and all of a sudden he just exploded for this monster game in his last outing. Went 7 innings, no earned runs, 9 strikeouts, and really it came out of nowhere. And he only pitched 80, he only had 84 pitches in that game. So it's not like, you know, he's been throwing, you know, pitches in the hundreds. I agree with you. There's just so much risk and so much uncertainty that we don't know what to expect out of Maeda, but he's probably the closest guy to maybe surpass or match Sale on the slate, don't you think?
Yeah, I think you could argue that, like from a raw points wise, like he's the guy that probably has the best chance of competing with him, but I'm probably just staying away from him, man. It's just really tough. I just wish I could play him more, right? He's a guy I wish I could play him more. It's just I don't trust Dave Roberts enough. But I think he's a really great tournament play. Like, if you just, like, want to take a shot in it, especially on, like, a FanDuel. On a DraftKings, it's I mean, I'd rather just find the 2K, I think. But that 3K on FanDuel could be interesting. When you have guys that are, like, you know, 12K on FanDuel, it really kind of is harder to obviously get in, like, the stacks that you want. But you might be able, even at that 9K price, you can get in, like, a really good stack with them, right? Like, you probably can make, like, a Rangers-White Sox game stack work, right? I don't know if you can with Sale. But that's just a specific thing I was thinking in general. And it might be an interesting pivot off of Sale, depending on what the ownership's going to be.
Yeah, you know, going back to our last conversation about the Yankee stack, you know, if you are going to do that 5-10% Yankee stack, you probably play Maeda and just hope that, you know, he goes off, that Sale struggles, and that your Yankee stack, you know, is just launching home runs. Yeah, so that's what I would do.
The double leverage play. It's always not too bad a route to go with. So I totally could see that there. What about let's talk about Dodgers bats, because I'm assuming you don't really want any Rockies bats here, but against German Marquez, do you have any interest in these lefties? I think that's where we're mainly looking at, like, the Grandals, Bellinger, Jock Peterson, and Max Muncy's of the world.
Yeah, I mean, Muncy's been phenomenal, really surprising this year, and Marquez has struggled against lefties. He's allowed 10 out of his 14 home runs against lefties. Lefties are having 309 average against him. So yeah, I agree with you. I would just load up on the lefties, and the stack's definitely viable. You know, it's not the best ballpark, but, you know, Peterson, Muncy, Bellinger, Grandal, make a nice little mini stack and they'll have the platoon advantage.
Yeah, it feels like a mini stack or pick guys as a one-off, specifically one cash game guy in FanDuel I kind of like is the Jock Peterson at 2.7. I think that's a really good value on him. Grandal, he's a solid catcher option, but yeah, mainly just picking those lefties, and I think that's perfectly fine. No Rockies bats for you? You want to move on to the next one?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think I want to pick on Maeda. And one last thing, Rich Hill threw 110 pitches today. So
that's what it was, 110. I knew it was high. But 6.2 innings enough was too much. But yeah, 110, ridiculous, man. So annoyed about that. But I played him, and obviously worked out on DraftKings, but I was thinking of playing him on FanDuel too. But oh, it's so tilting because Dave Roberts is the worst.
Yes, I agree.
Let's go to the next one. Too much Dave Roberts talk for one podcast. Atlanta Braves, St. Louis Cardinals, 8.5 total here. We have Max Fried against Luke Weaver. And I'm a Luke Weaver fan. I like him. But against a team like the Braves that don't strike out a ton, I don't know what to do. He's cheap on FanDuel at 6.2K. If you really want to punt, like, on FanDuel, that's a route to go. 7.3 on DraftKings too is really cheap, and Vegas kind of thinks that Weaver could have a good game. He's a minus 143 favorite. The Braves have only a 3.90 implied total. Like, you know, if I look at this just normally, I think Weaver, I don't want to play. But when I look at the price and I look at what Vegas is thinking, I'm starting to get a little more interested out.
Yeah, I'm torn. Like, I'm not a Luke Weaver guy, actually. I mean, Weaver's got 21% K rate, which, you know, again, it's not bad, but I don't know. I just always expect a little bit more from him, and he just always seems to disappoint. And then, you know, on paper, right, this, yeah, like you said, the Braves just, they're not a high strikeout team. And I think Acuña just came back on Friday, which, you know, bolsters his lineup a little bit more. Yeah, you know, the Braves are the sixth hardest team to strike out against right-handed pitching. So I kind of, not a huge Luke Weaver fan. I get it. You know, I think I see the appeal, but I don't think I can go there.
Yeah, I think it's just tough, man. I'm so torn on what to do with this game. On top of that, I don't know if you listen to Crunch Time today with Kevin Roth. He's got like some weather thing that he's pulling together where it like tells you like when the weather's a certain temperature, how home runs go up. But if this game's 90 degrees or more, I believe the stat was like home runs go up 25% in this park or something like that, which is a crazy thing to think of. And we have a lefty on the mound and Max Fried going up against his righty heavy Cardinals lineup. And if it's going to be hot and humid there, like the Fam, Martinez, Ozuna, Molina, Jed Jericho, all these righties look just really interesting here in this spot.
Yeah, I would probably lean more towards the St. Louis side. And obviously Vegas agrees with the St. Louis side. You know, Carpenter is going to probably go overlooked on a lefty and lefty matchup, but the way he's been swinging, you know, I think if you're rolling out the Cardinal stack, you have to include him. And you know, Fam's actually been really struggling. I'm not sure if he's hiding an injury or whatnot, but you know, he's been hitless for several games. So it's a little bit concerning. I don't know if you've seen his at bats or, you know, read anything about what's going through with Tommy Pham.
I haven't, but he's due, Alan, right? That's how it works. He's due now.
he needs to shave his mustache, his goatee, his eyebrows. Like, that's how you get out of it. Shave his whole face.
Yeah. Maybe I'll have to do that too. Next time I'm struggling in DFS, do that. I just did a real, I don't know. It says he recovered from the flu. I'm saying the flu is a small part. Fam recovers from flu like bug. And this was on June 25th. So, that's probably what the reason is, Alan. I just did a quick Twitter search on it. So he's been dealing with the flu. So, I don't know, the 25th, though, that's what, 4 days, and they said he had it, like, probably prior to that, it looks like. So, I don't know, he could be fine, but if you want to fade him because of that, sure. But Tommy Pham's a really good hitter, and the price is kind of nice. Like, 3.1K on FanDuel is a really nice price tag. DraftKings, 4.3, that's still kind of cheap for Tommy Pham. So, I don't know if I'd want to miss out on him. I might just, you know, hope that the flu bug is out of there. But anything else you really want to talk about in this game, or you want to move on to the next one?
We can move on.
All right, we got the game. It might be the game of the slate, right? Chicago White Sox, Texas Rangers, 10 total. I'm sure it's going to be, you know, really hot outside. Nick Lachey, 98 degrees style probably. And we got Bartolo Colon against Carlos Rodon. And, I mean, this is just a dream spot for these guys to just stack against, right? Bartolo Colon, the White Sox, this should be a spot where we just load up on White Sox backs. And on the opposite side against Rodon, I normally like to have a right-handed pitcher so I can get those Texas lefties, but some of these righties could obviously be intriguing on Texas too. So, Alan, where should we start here with this game?
Let's start with Bartolo Colon. You know, we've seen him just, I don't know, we've seen the good and bad of him this year, but he's been really struggling with home runs, right? He's given him 19 home runs and 87 innings. I mean, this should be a spot where he does struggle, you know, in Nick Lachey weather against this White Sox team. But the White Sox, man, they just disappointed. I don't know. It's really hard to figure them out. I mean, they should be able to hit home runs. They've got the power, but I mean, what do you think about the White Sox? I mean, we should pick on Colon, right?
Alan, I said this, I don't know if you saw on Twitter, but I said this on Friday morning or Thursday, I forgot when I tweeted out, but I said, you know, the Padres came into Texas and we thought that they could obviously hit better. What could literally be like the worst thing to happen? The White Sox showing up, because they're the same exact team as the Padres. They just have a little more power, right? They're pretty identical. So like I expected them to kind of disappoint. You know, I got a little bit of exposure to them and it ended up working out from what I got exposure to. And, you know, I'm not going to play Bartolo Colon. I know we make the argument, hey, it's the White Sox against a righty, but no thanks. I'm going to pass on that. I'll take some shots on these White Sox still for cheap, right? I'll find a way to get some exposure to some of these guys, but I don't want to go too crazy with them. I more so prefer when they're against a lefty. That's when I really like to kind of load up. I think that's the better spot for them. I think they're fine. If you see a good price and it's a good mix and match spot for cash games, but I don't think I'm stacking up the White Sox here.
I think I agree with you, and I think it's because for me, you know, the 6-9 hitters, they're just not very appealing. You know, you've got like guys like Yomar Sanchez or Charlie Tilson, Adam Engel. I do see, yeah, I do see the stack maybe not being as viable because I don't know how much this bottom of the lineup can help, you know, turn over the lineup. And on the other side, I normally don't love using the Rangers against lefties. That's where I'm struggling with, you know, but Rodon can be wild. You know, he has issues with walks, and there's the possibility that, you know, the Rangers just keep getting guys on base and just turn over the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I heard you talk about a little hot streak earlier on. I forget who it was, but it sounds like you like hot streaks, and this team just hit a ton of runs. And the White Sox, they don't have a great bullpen, too. I think you can still play some of these lefties, right? The Mazars, the Chews. You can certainly take shots on them still and, like, stack this game up. It's a great spot to get exposure to, but I'm just not trying to just, like, full-on just go insane with it in my cash games. I think it's fine, but I just want to temper my expectations a little bit with the White Sox and then make sure I pick out the right Rangers. But don't be afraid to play lefties, too, if you see the lefty-lefty against Rodon, because if he gets shelled, he's going to go out there early, and then you can get some low-owned. Maybe you'll get, like, Sinchu Chu and Mazar very low-owned, and that's obviously very appealing.
I like that call. I mean, if you are playing the bats here, you probably just have to – you know, stack them up. I wouldn't just go necessarily all the right-handed bats. I agree with you that Rodon, you know, could have a short outing. And then you're going to have, you know, guys like Chu and Mazara for, you know, 1-2 at-bats against a really poor White Sox bullpen. I guess from a game, you know, looking at it again from a game theory perspective, you know, I think the Rangers, they're going to open with the highest implied total against a shorter slate that we're dealing with. Do you see any in tournaments? Do you see any merit to fading, you know, going underweight on this game and then just loading up elsewhere?
I don't hate it. It's just like, it's where do you want to go, right? That is one of the issues. But if it's the highest owned spot, I don't hate it, right? I love the pivot to the Cardinals. The more and more I'm like thinking about it, I kind of think that's a route that I might end up taking instead, just because I think they're kind of have really nice price tags too. It looks like a solid pivot. So the more and more we keep talking about it, I'm kind of getting intrigued by that instead. Because again, this game could disappoint, but I do like the Rangers side more than the White Sox side because, again, like when I look at both of these teams, right, when I kind of look at the White Sox, I normally like to play them when they're against what? When they're against a left-handed pitcher. And I normally like to play the Texas Rangers when they're against a right-handed pitcher. So I don't have them on like the side of the plate that I really like them on. So, and if this is going to be an overowned game, it could be interesting from a game theory perspective to, you know, if you're playing one tournament team, don't try and beat all the White Sox Rangers teams. Try and, you know, be a little different.
Yeah. No, I think that's where I'm coming from is because this main slate, it's only got six games. This is the clear, you know, top game. It's almost like this is the Coors game on the slate. And, you know, when we have those Coors type of games, you know, I like to pivot elsewhere, especially if you're playing something like a single entry or, you know, a three entry max, you know, get exposure to one of these other offenses because it's possible that, you know, one of them goes off and, you know, you're going to have them at low ownership. And I think that's why, you know, I talked about the Yankees early on, or, you know, we didn't talk too much about the Red Sox, but, you know, maybe one of those teams, you know, outscores, you know, the White Sox or the Rangers. And I think that's why I'm trying to think it from a game theory perspective, because we've only got six games on the slate.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just like the reason to talk about it. But this is definitely a great game to target. Like cash games, I'm sure I'll have exposure to this game. Like I obviously don't want to miss out on it. And you know, I'm not trying to poo-poo this spot at all. I don't think we're trying to do that, but we're talking the game theory, right? The tournaments and all that jazz. Yeah. So we talked about that game enough. Let's go on to the next one. We got the Pittsburgh Pirates, the San Diego Padres. We have Trevor Williams and Joey Lucchesi on the mound. And I see the Padres. I see a righty. It just seems like an easy spot to go with, right? I heard someone say on one of the live shows today, when you have an ugly SP2 slate, you can easily just plug in whoever the right-handed pitcher is against the Padres. So can I easily just plug in Trevor Williams?
Man, I see the merit to that argument because we look at the rest of the slate, right? The Trevor Williams is kind of in that same price range as Joey Lucchesi and Derek Rodriguez. And, you know, do we want to play those guys in tougher strikeout, you know, matchups? I don't know. Like I kind of see Williams as a viable SP2. And again, it's just matchup driven. It's not like Williams is, you know, this great pitcher. He's not a high strikeout pitcher, but, you know, the game environment and the matchup looks great.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that there's opportunity here for Williams. Lucchesi against the Pirates. Do you have any interest in him here in this spot?
To be honest, not really. Like, the Pirates are such a contact-heavy team, and they're probably going to roll out 6 to 7 right-handed bats. And, you know, they're not great, powerful bats, but, you know, the guys like the Harrisons and the Freeze and the Diaz, you know, they can make contact. And that's enough, I think, for me to get off Lucchesi a little bit.
Yeah, it's just the one thing is like it's weird when you look at like the numbers, like xFIP at 3.84 on Lucchesi and then 25.1 K percentage. There's obviously the upside for him there, but those righties can obviously scare you a little bit. You know, the Marte freeze. The Pirates are one of those teams that's good at like getting like heavy on the one side of the plate if they like they're good at like getting heavy on whatever side of the plate they can, and they're gonna try and get righty heavy here. That obviously gives me some concerns with looking at the numbers against Lucchesi, the WOBA at 342, the ISO at 243. So I don't think I go with Lucchesi here, but yeah, I don't know. I'd maybe go more to Trevor Williams just because, hey, it's the Padres. But the problem with Trevor Williams is like, and I should have mentioned this, the K percentage this season is only at 17.5%. Sure, he's not giving up a ton of power, and the WOBA's fine, and the Padres do strike out a lot, but I don't know. It's just such a weird spot. And there's another SP that too that we're going to get to in a second that I'll like. And this is a game that I just don't think I like the bats too much. And if I do anything, it's probably just Williams against the Padres because, hey, you know, the Padres, they struggle against righties.
Yep, I am on board with that.
All right, let's talk about this next game because there's an SP2 that I like a lot here. It's the Kansas City Royals and the Seattle Mariners, 8.5 total. And we have Jason Hamill against Felix Hernandez. I really like Jason Hamill. Just kidding with you, Alan. It's Felix Hernandez is the guy. I had to throw you for a loop there for a second when I said Jason Hamill. But no, Felix Hernandez is the guy that I like. And again, if you look at the plate IQ and look at the recent trends, you know, Felix Hernandez has been changing up his pitches a little bit. He's been a lot better recently. So I'm buying in on Felix Hernandez against this Royals team that's not that good. It's watered down. There's some more Ks in there with how it's built now. It's not a lot more Ks, but more Ks than it's had in the past. I think it's a phenomenal spot for Felix Hernandez. And Vegas agrees with Felix Hernandez being a minus 213 favorite and the Royals only 3.41 implied run total.
Yeah, you know, it's similar to the game we just talked about with, you know, Trevor Williams, right? It's matchup, kind of matchup driven. And that's one of the main reasons I agree with you. Felix is probably the top SP2, I would say. You know, it does make it a little bit hard to fit. Let's see, you know, he's 8,100 on DraftKings. And yeah, you know, I think you can make it work. I do agree with you. You know, the matchup's good. I did hear about that. He's changed his pitch type a little bit, right? He's throwing fewer sliders. I guess that's been helping out a little bit. I agree with you. I think he's in play here. Curveballs this season.
Yeah, I think, my cash build is going to be Sale, Felix, and then I'll try and make everything else work. So I like him a ton. Jason Hamill, you know, I was kidding before, guys, if you didn't hear it the first time, I'm not playing Jason Hamill at all. He's a guy that I think is actually a good guy to stack against today. And Vegas agrees, 5.09 implied total for the Mariners. They have a lot of power and pop in their lineup, which gives them that tournament winning upside. So what do you think about this Mariners team? I think they're a really interesting stack here and a good team to get some exposure to in cash.
I think they're probably one of the top stacks. I mean, because they've got the home run power, that's what I look for. You've got Haniger, Cruz, you know, they can definitely hit right-handed pitching, and Healy as well. So there's a good stack here. I like the middle of the lineup. I'm not a D Gordon guy, but you can run on Hamill. I think he's one of the easiest guys to steal on, if I remember correctly. He's always among the league leaders. So, you know, if you're running out multiple teams or multiple Seattle stacks, you definitely want exposure to Gordon.
Yeah, and one thing to note is Hamill's got a little reverse splits in him too. So these power righties, man, like the WOBA is above like 360, it looks like here. I just had it. I lost it for a second. Yeah, it's a 359 against righties this season. And, you know, getting hit hard by both sides of the play against lefties, he's getting hit at 50%, and then against righties, 43.4%. So that's obviously something to note. And I think these just the Seattle power bats are really interesting. And so to note with Hamill with the stolen bases is it's 4 stolen bases this season in 94 innings. Last year it was 20 stolen bases in 180. So he's definitely had his issues throughout the year. And D Gordon's like a super speed guy. So obviously he's going to have the green light in this type of matchup. And I don't know. It's the weekend, right? Maybe Salvador Perez gets a day off. And if he does, that obviously be helpful because Salvador Perez is pretty good at throwing out guys. But I think that could obviously be a little bump in. D Gordon seems like a good stolen base candidate. I like that. Probably not a Jack in the Bag candidate because that home run upside's not really there for him. But the stolen base could definitely be pretty solid, making him a pretty good cash game option, in my opinion.
Former steroid user, former PED user, right?
So this team is a full steroid. You know, they got D Gordon, Robinson Cano, Nelson Cruz. They got like the steroid using squad, basically.
Here. Yeah, I'm waiting to the end of the year when Cano comes back so I can roll out the PED stack.
Oh man, the PED stack. That's absolutely awesome. Yeah, I'll have to roll one of those out towards the end of the year as well. Yeah, that's pretty funny. Anything else in this game, Alan? You want to move on to the last game of the slate?
We both agree Felix Hernandez is, you know, one of the top SP2s. Would you play any Royals bats? And they're really cheap across the industry. Any
yeah,
interest
they do.
In that
They
side?
do have cheap. Yeah, they do have cheap price tags. Like, I don't really want to though. But they do have cheap price. I get it. Like, I like Mike Moustakas. Like, I'm FanDuel. He's 3-1. DraftKings 4-1 is still not my favorite. But Herrera batting second, he's got a decent price. If that kind of helps make things work, I get it. But Duda, he's 3.6 on DraftKings, and FanDuel, he's 2.5. But yeah, I wouldn't go crazy with Royals. That's one of those teams where I never value their runs, right? Like, if I told you you could have like 5 White Sox runs or like 8 Royals runs, you probably want 5 White Sox runs, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the possibility of a home run, you maybe take a one-off with Moustakas, but yeah, probably not a stack situation. Maybe a one-off situation to fill out your, you know, cash game roster or something.
Yeah. Or like a one-off for a homer or something, if you like that. But let's go on to the next game. We got your San Francisco Giants going against the Arizona Diamondbacks. It's a 9 total here. And we got Derek Rodriguez against Shelby Miller, as we used to call him. Shelby Miller is his name. And Miller has came back. And I forget how that first start ended up going. I know he was on that pitch count there, but what do you think about these two pitchers? They don't seem like pitchers I'm that interested in. And also kind of think I'm not that interested in the hitters that much too. Maybe just a couple guys as one-offs.
Yeah, Miller started off well in this last outing. And then if you look at the final stat line, it's not great. I remember his first couple innings went well. But
yeah, he went 85 pitches, just to know. I don't know if you are considering playing him. I'm not considering playing him, but he had an 85 pitch count. I'm assuming it'll be – maybe it'll be bumped up a little bit, but I don't think it's a great spot to play him.
No, I'm definitely not considering playing him. I think I'm more considering stacking against him because, again, I'm trying to look for, you know, pivots off the chalk. I think, again, this ballpark is not great. I think I heard, you know, it was Britt that mentioned on his show today that the Diamondbacks, you know, went from one of the top offensive ballparks to, I think it's middle of the pack now because of, you know, the humidor. So it's pretty much a neutral ballpark now, but you know, Vegas does like this game. I think they're implied for over 9 runs, so there's, you know, possibility of some decent, you know, scoring in this game.
Do we have a big enough sample on the humidor, Alan, or can we finally say it's not you know, the rumidor anymore, right? It's definitely the humidor has had an effect, correct?
I think so, unless, you know, you ask someone that requires, you know, large samples, and then you have to ask me like 10 years and then we'll find out. But no, I think you know, we've seen enough where we can probably project that this is probably a pitcher's ballpark now.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that. And yeah, I don't know. This game doesn't seem as appealing. Like, if you look, it's got a 9 total, which is kind of weird to see. I think it's mainly like against Rodriguez, I'll look at some of these lefties like Jake Lamb, David Peralta, maybe take some shots on these guys as one-offs. Again, it feels like kind of that spot for me. And then maybe go like a Brandon Belt or like a Brandon Crawford on the Giants. But I'm just not loving this game now.
Yeah, I'm really torn because I'm not a Shelby Miller believer. You look at his numbers, even in the minors during his rehab, he was getting shelled in double A for his rehab. 7 2/3 innings. He gave up 13 hits and 9 runs, 6 walks. So I kind of feel like he's just not there, and he's not the same Shelby Miller that, you know, we saw a couple of years ago. I guess what I'm saying is I don't mind a low-owned Giant stack, especially the lefties. You know, you'll probably see Hanson at the top. You know, Brandon Belt, Crawford, obviously in play. I guess I don't mind. Maybe it's my homerism, but I do think Shelby Miller kind of has some holes in his game right now.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine if you want to. I don't know. This is a game I'm probably going to end up crossing off for me. I just don't love it. But anything else you want to talk about in this game, or you want to just move on to the stacks of the day?
Yeah, let's move on.
All right, so here's what we're going to do, Alan. I'll kick us off. We'll do a stack of the day for the early slate and a stack of the day for the late slate. How's that sound? I'm going to go first, though, for the early slate. I'll take the Los Angeles Angels. They're my favorite early stack here. Love just the Cole Calhoun value at the top. Mike Trout, Upton, even throwing Pujols. He may be a little washed, but, hey, he has his moments sometimes. And then Valbuena, Simmons, that's just 1-6 is a fine spot to go with. And I wouldn't even hate maybe getting Kinsler in there. Like Maldonado, too, if you need a cheap catcher. Just up and down this lineup is phenomenal. So I'm going to be all over the Angels stack on the early slate. What about you?
I think we didn't talk too much about it, but I think the Indians are going to be low owned. People are going to see Edwin Jackson. You know, he had that great first start, but this is also Edwin Jackson we're talking about. And we know that he has implosion possibilities. So if we see, you know, the good Indians lineup, you know, Lindor, Brantley, Jose Ramirez, Encarnacion, Chisenhall, I kind of like that, you know, 1-5, 1-6 stack.
All right, now I'll let you lead off for the late slate, Alan. Who do you like here in this spot? What is your favorite team to target on the late slate or main slate, I should say? What's your number one stack?
Yeah, so again, you know, if you're playing cash games, you do want exposure to the Rangers and White Sox. You know, something that I've been toying around recently is, you know, playing more single entry or three entry max, and I've been trying to look for, you know, pivots off the chalk stacks. So for me, I'm probably going to try, you know, Boston or the Yankees. I don't really want to pick on Sale, but I think that game has some potential to go overlooked on the hitting side. So I would maybe try the Boston right-handed bats of Betts and Martinez, and then you've got Benintendi, Moreland, and Bogarts as sort of nice plays at the top. And then Endeavors, too, has looked great since he's fixed his swing on working with JD Martinez.
All right, well, I'm going to go with the Cardinals, Alan. That's the team I think I'm going to just throughout the day definitely have some interest in. Carpenter, Famous, all these guys up and down. I think there's like, you know, if you stack them up, some of these guys have like a little bit of value in each site. Like Ozuna at 3.8 just seems too cheap. Fam on FanDuel, 3.1 is a little cheap. Like 3.2 for Ozuna is really nice. Like there's like enough value here where I kind of really like this Cardinal stack, and you might be able to pull it off with Sale too. So yeah, give me the Cardinal stack. That'll be my stack of the day. Any final thoughts here, Alan, or you want to get on out of here?
No, you know, this is a good, it's a good mix of slates. You know, you've got some clear offensive games. You know, in the main slate, you've got the, you've got that Rangers White Sox game, and in the early slate, you've got the Brewers and Reds drawing ownership. So I do think that hopefully our, you know, through our conversation, we talked a little bit about game theory. I think that's going to be important on these shorter split slates.
Yeah, agree with you on that. Definitely feels like a better tournament day than a cash day, but I might still get in the cash games. I'm still trying to make that decision of what I want to do tomorrow, because I'm normally like 8 games are up, I'll play it, but we're in the 6-7 spot. I'm trying to still make that decision, but this is a fun slate, fun day of baseball game. Should be a good time. Thanks for joining me here, Alan. Really appreciated having you on. This is our first time on the Weekend Grind. I can't remember.
I think it is. Yeah. So yeah, appreciate the show, Mangone. This is a fun slate. Yeah, I had a good time just talking baseball with you, talking narratives, facial hair narratives. That's big. You got to include that in your projection models and whatever StatCast and Fangraphs data you use. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's got to give a little bump, right? There's that button you click whenever you know, when the mustache gets shaved off. You gotta, you know, jam the button to give him a little boost in the projection, right?
But, we need to talk to Jimeno to add you know, plate IQ data with on off facial hair splits.
That makes much sense. So if you're listening, Jimeno, we got to get that in there in the plate IQ. We're paying hard. The harder money that people are paying for the premium, they need that kind of stuff. But thanks for joining us. Really enjoyed having you on, Alan. And we're going to get on out of here. I'll be back tomorrow breaking down the Sunday slate for you guys with Will, Chief Justice 06. So again, thanks a lot for joining me, Alan. We are going to get on out of here. See you guys later.